prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for keeping us and blessing us, Lord. We don't know how to count the blessings because we don't see them sometimes. But, Lord, you're with us, and that's enough. Lord, thank you for your power, your spirit, that you're still alive today. Thank you for everything that happened in this service, Father God, the testimonies, the songs, and everything. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to be here worshiping the Lord. I was thinking, we don't know how to measure a blessing. You know that? Because we don't know sometimes what a blessing is. I was thinking how good it is to feel free in the Lord without anything between you and the Lord, between you and your brother. You know, that's you cannot measure that. How would you measure it? How do you measure peace? There's no way to measure it. In our day, we have a tremendous pressure all over. Am I right? Except if you're an exceptional person, sometimes you feel the pressure all over and you don't know where it's coming from. Do you know that? You don't even know where it's coming. It just squeezes you all the time. And I believe that we live at the end. It reminds me the scripture that when the demon-possessed person was crying to Jesus and came on the other side of the guy was at the tombs, and behold, he cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Satan knows his time. And right now he knows it's over. And he'll do anything that he can to fight you and I. You know that? You know? And that's the time that we're supposed to get closer to the Lord. And that's the time that we're supposed to leave nothing between us and the Lord. Because we need that relation. We cannot survive without a relation with the Lord. You know? We cannot survive. The church will not maintain you. Remember that. You maintain yourself and you come to church for fellowship and strength. We have reversed things around. We think that I'm going to church and everything is going to be done. No, it's you and the Lord daily, you know. And the mercy of God is so great to us. Sometimes you go to a school or an elementary school or a high school or a college, graduate work, whatever it is. And you have prerequisites for a course, and then after that you have the course and so on. You cannot take this course without this. But have you ever thought the way that Jesus puts us together here? Some of the people don't even know how to write. Others know how to write. Others know more about Jesus than anyone else. And all of them get a blessing. You know that? Because it takes the Holy Spirit to bring that light. Am I right? It's not by learning. It's not by prerequisites. It's by submission to Jesus Christ. What do you think if I said prerequisite? You have to finish 4 years of going to church and then you come to this assembly. That doesn't work. Am I right with God? Because God can take His service and all of a sudden with one or two instructions or two verses makes it live to somebody, and somebody shouts and praises the Lord. And probably the guy that has been 20 years with the Lord, he doesn't even know what's happening. And the other fellow gets it all. Because that's God. Am I right? I enjoy the baptism service. I think it was a tremendous service, don't you, this morning? You know, it's good. It's good to have one vision. That's Jesus Christ. If we have this, you know, we love each other. Have you ever been in an environment that you're with somebody traveling or something and you don't talk to each other? It's a burden. Have you ever been in an environment that everything is beautiful? You know? We cannot achieve that without the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
You keep on looking to Jesus and going on with the Lord, then everything will be all right. The problem is you took the letter of the message, make a doctrine out of it, and try to figure out throughout Jesus and how we're working alone. And we might have to stop for a minute to say, like Mary did, where is Jesus after she worked so many days? You know? That I'm so thankful to the Lord for His Spirit and His power. I just feel in my own life I should be going back and praying and seeking the Lord then go back to the basics of the cross of Calvary and Pentecost. That's the answer, you know that? We feel so high up, we know everything, and we know nothing. You know? And I really appreciate what the Lord has done. And what the Lord dealt with a young man. What's his name? Christopher? Who is Christopher? Is he here? Christopher, God bless you. He came in with a tie to be baptized, and I like that. I picked him for a fellow, you know. Christopher, you know what Christopher means? Do you? You don't know. Christopher is an old classical name for the name Christophorus. Christos is Christ. Pharaoh is a carrier of Jesus Christ. I hope when you go back to the island, you carry Jesus Christ to them. That's what Christopher means. From the verb Pharaoh, ke Christos, who means a carrier of Christ, carries the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beautiful name, isn't it?
Amen.
You know. Today we give names like cha-cha-cha, chi-chi-chi, means nothing. You know? The old classical names mean something. You know, Paul says, I have one Timothy. To me, it's honor, Theos is God. One Timothy, one person that honors God. You got Demas has forsaken. Demas comes from the Demos, who means a politician, has forsaken me. You know, Theophilus, he says, Theos is God, a friend of God. All these names mean something. Today we just perverted them and turned them around. I was studying to preach about something and I felt I'm going to get too deep into it. And I changed my subject about an hour ago. But I like probably to mention some things when you go home you might like to study. And that's in the Gospel of John. If you turn with me to the Gospel of John for a minute. And here, on the 51st verse or before, whatever you study that chapter, Jesus says, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give you, I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Remember, we're coming back to the flesh. Remember this morning or when it was yesterday that I brought up that the Word became flesh. Am I right? Remember? The Word became flesh. And you remember what I said, that we are crucified with Christ? He carried us in the body of His flesh at Calvary. That's where sins were just totally demolished. That's where He carried us at the cross. And then he continues, of course, the Jews therefore start arguing among themselves, and how can a man give us this flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Remember, life is associated of eating the flesh and drinking the blood. Now you say, Brother David, I go to the Old Testament and he says, and no man can drink blood. That's true, but we're talking about something different. The Word became flesh. And you, by eating the Word, you're eating the life of Christ at the cross of Calvary by being crucified and die daily with Him. And if you just eat the flesh only, you eat the letter part of it, and the blood of it's the life of that flesh, and it gives you eternal life, and you go on with Jesus by eating the flesh of the crucified Lord, which is the Lord, and drinking the life of the Spirit of the Word of God.
Amen.
Study that. There's a lot to it. You know that? Because if I get into it, probably we'll spend about 3 days, and I want to spend tomorrow just about the Holy Ghost, or I want to get the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. It's just, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Have you ever seen a person picking up a part of the body of Christ and eating it? No. What is it? That flesh was the Word of God that became flesh. And you eat that Word, and you have eternal life. How? Through the cross of Calvary. The Word is so perfect, you know. You look at the Word, it says, Lord Jesus, how can I eat it? Is it something that I got to do something about it? No, no. The only thing you do, you just merge with Christ, go to the cross, die to yourself. And you know, the more you become nothing before God, The more you see the Word of God becomes life in you, and you start eating this life and eating this life. And when we take communion tonight, you know what we're going to do? We are confessing that this bread is an emblem. It's just a type that I'm confessing that I have been at Calvary and I'm eating His flesh and drinking His blood. And I have life eternal. And Jesus continues, says here, He says, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him."
Hallelujah.
Did you see the union of Christ? How can I dwell in him and he in me? By being dead to myself, be crucified with Christ. The Holy Spirit comes, dwells in me. And when the rapture comes, the spirit and the body are uniting together.
Amen.
You know? God's Spirit should dwell in us in such a way that when He comes back, He'll pick up that Spirit, bring it up to Him, and we'll unite with the body because there was one time. Beautiful to get in the covenant of Abraham when He took the animal and tore it apart, and there was darkness, and chased away all these blackbirds coming around, all these wild doctrines, and left the purity of the sacrifice. You know that? And Jesus continued, He says, as living the Father has sent me, He says, and I live by the Father, and he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. How do you live today? By the Word, am I right? Eating and eating the Word of God. Once you experience Calvary, friend, the greatest defeats becomes the greatest blessing. If this morning we can measure the blessing of the results of repentance and the cost of repentance, they will never outdo each other. The blessing is beyond understanding. And if we can just see ourselves as brothers and sisters before Jesus Christ, my biggest problem sometimes in meetings like that, that's why I don't go to conventions, is that you take only 2% of what you want to say and then just go home and cry about it. Because there's such a high misunderstanding that you can be in trouble before you start. No? That's why sometimes I like a little bit like the Bible conference that we do. I give them the materials, they study their world, what's going on, and then go on from there. Tonight we're here to take communion. And I like to spend a few minutes with our communion. Of course, we have different doctrines on communion. Different churches, different groups believe in different ways. The RC Church, the Catholic Church, believes that when the priest prays, that becomes the actual body of Christ. But Jesus never said that. He says, if we eat, that body was at the cross, if we're going there with Him. But the question comes to my mind now, what I'm supposed to be doing when I take communion, and what's my relation with the Lord? Am I right?
Amen.
If I have asked today, who is ready to meet the Lord, His own abilities, do you know if anybody stands up and says, I'm ready, I'll tell him, you don't know what you're talking about.
True.
Without the grace of God, we're wiped out.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
If we got a communion table right here, and I say, whosoever feel that he is worthy to come in the front, take communion, please come. And if you're not worthy, you drop dead, I will be the last one coming. I got news for you. Because we think we got so much, but we got so little.
Amen.
And when I read this verse, the boy is going so I can stay longer. Praise the Lord. So when I start studying the scriptures, and normally I don't know how you do here in the communion, but you go through 1 Corinthians 11 that says, I receive from the Lord that which I deliver. You continue on. And he says this, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Now sometimes you have to bring doctrines. But I'm staying with Jesus Christ. If you believe that the Lord has already come, you have no business to take communion. Hard, but true. Did you ever think of that? Until he comes, we take that. I ask many friends of mine, what are you going to do with that? So that's a mystery to me. I don't know what to do. But he continues, my subject is not that, but don't let me scare you. Therefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. This is very fearful. Whosoever eat unworthily, I know this, I'm not worthy. Question is, are you worthy? How would you do that? Here's the bread is going to be broken. Here's strife and bitterness in our hearts many times. Here's fights at home. Here's pressures with the kids. Here's temper. Here's lying. Here's everything. And we're here today to take communion. And the scripture says, if we are unworthy, we cannot take communion. Because what happened? We would be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. On the other side, if you don't take communion, you have no part of Him. So you really have no choice. We stuck all of us right here. So we came here. If our Lord was here, He says, now, you people, if you're whosoever is worthy, come in the front and take communion. I'll just wait in the corner. But I like probably to take that little word, unworthy. Anaxios. Axia is a prize. If I have this book here and I go to the bookstore and they tell me $10, the price of this book, the value of this book is $10. And here he says, whosoever enduring it without the price, and that's not my price, that's what he paid at Calvary for me. It's beautiful, isn't it? So now I'm coming to Him, and what I do, I says, Lord, I am unworthy, but I have the price, and that's You, what You pay for me at Calvary.
Amen.
Isn't it beautiful?
Amen.
He make a provision. He's Jehovah Jireh. We hurt Him so much, but He's still the love of God there. And He says, with other words here, whosoever, He says, bring this the cup of the Lord without the price. And you know what? What is the price? The price is what He paid for you and I at Calvary.
Amen.
To set me free. And it's like a bumper in the day of judgment standing now. And my sins and your sins are hitting this bumper. And the love of God is there. He says, John Doe, don't do that again. We say, Lord, forgive me. Am I right?
Yes.
His Spirit is dealing with me. His Spirit is dealing with you. And that's the true bride and the manifestation of the bride. It's not the bride that wants to have a big cowboy hat and a bell buckle with Brother Branham's picture. Not at all. It's the ones that have the conviction of the Holy Spirit in them. So God is dealing with him. I'm not going to say anything. So what is it, friends? We're standing here, the communion table is going to be served, and I want that prize. Who can pay that prize? Who can pay? Can you pay that price? No. Can any sacrifice pay the price? No. What is the penalty? Guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's eternal punishment. So I'm looking now and I says, where can I get the price? Who is that Jesus that came down? And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it tells me something there that I should have in mind. He says, now he says, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. What was made a quickening spirit? What is that? Remember I brought the word Zoopion, Zoe, eternal life, the creator of eternal life. And I'm standing at the communion table, and I says, He's Jehovah Jireh. I'm saved by faith and not by works. No wondering Luther had connected always the just shall live by faith and the communion table. He says the just not had lived by faith, But daily you live by faith, friends. We have misinterpreted that. We think that you get saved only by faith and then you go on and do anything you want to. No, it's a faith walk daily before God. Am I right? You get up in the morning, you maintain your prayer life. You get up at night, you get together and you pray. How many times I remember I just, sometimes I go to bed 2 o'clock and get up at 4 or 3:30. I go to the bedroom, I say, Lord, keep me and Polly, she's sleeping. 4 o'clock in the morning. Keep us this day. Because I might leave before she comes. She gets up, I'm sorry. And what is it, friends? It's just always reaching to God and says, now, He's the life, eternal life giving. And if you pay the price, it's because of that price, the eternal life God that came down, I'm in Him and gives me eternal life. So I'm holding that price. But Jesus comes and says, why do you take communion? Because of your grace. What about if it was works and each one of us have to put $100? Probably most of us couldn't afford it. Am I right? Mm-hmm. But it's by faith. What about if you say, Brother David, my wife, you put books out, you have an edge before everybody else. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm not saved by works, I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm glad to serve every way that I can the Lord. And don't think because I preach the gospel, I believe that's the reason I'm getting saved. No. But because of His grace and I die daily.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
So often we substitute things. But now He said to me tonight, take your price. What is the price without price? Without acknowledging by faith that He paid the penalty that you deserve at Calvary. He didn't just pardon you. He paid the penalty that the law requires. He didn't exercise any executive rights to forgive you. But He paid that price to fulfill the law. I'm so thankful to Jesus that today we can stand in 1 Corinthians when we read about communion and start reading it over and over again. And say, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, unworthy without the price. But we have the price. Am I right?
Amen.
You know, have you ever thought about what I said a few minutes ago? If the table was spread here, and Brother Cyril comes to serve His communion, and he says, everybody stands, I'm going to read a verse. And he stands up, he says, if you are not worthy, don't come in the front. I won't show up in the front because he says, you're going to be dead. But when I start studying that unworthy is the price that He paid for me at Calvary. I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm going. To confess what you have done for me instead of claiming self-righteousness.
Amen.
I'm taking this bread. I'm drinking this cup because of what He has done and not what I am.
Amen.
I'm saved by faith and not by works. I'm son of Abraham. And I'm inheriting all the blessings of faith. It's not what I have done, what He has done. So now we're approaching, coming closer. I says, Lord, I acknowledge that price. Here is death. He delivered me. He gives me a blank check. He says, you write the check. Here is the price. What's in that check? Therefore, there are no condemnation to those that walk in Christ Jesus. Those that walk not after the flesh. I said, because of that, I can come to the communion table. Am I right?
Yes.
There is no condemnation to those that walk in Christ Jesus. So I'm taking the check and cash it. And the bank of heaven recognizes it. And Jesus looks at his books. And he says, oh, David, mama, yes, that's him who sent the Holy Ghost to him. And he's in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. He has the prize. I'm just wondering, friend, if you have an experience with the Lord in your life or not. If you're saved or not. Just remember, I'm hurting to say these things, but I believe in the message, but I'm not asking you if you're in the message, but if you know Jesus. That's what I'm asking you. If you're saved. Because I have an experience of that. For 19 years, I was born a Christian, full gospel, home praying and going to church and so on, until I experienced salvation by Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid sometimes we become too indoctrinated and we don't have the price. The young people, you are great young people. But don't become grandchildren to God, because God doesn't have grandchildren. Ask yourself tonight, am I really saved? Do I know Jesus Christ? Do I have a price? Well, I will be condemned if I do that. Or you said, I better don't take communion. What kind of a choice you have? He tells you, you're no part of Him if you don't. Correct?
Amen.
You're exposed to the truth. You reject the truth. You're in trouble. So now I'm continuing. He says this, but let a man examine himself. They're self-searching, friends. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been at the cross and died with Jesus? Has His Spirit dwelt in you? Or you're here, formal message, intellectual being? That's pretty hard gospel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a true gospel.
Yes.
What would you do if you were in my shoes? Have you clapped your hands and praised the Lord? He died for me. But He says, examine also. Don't blame David Mamelis. Don't blame Brother Searle. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame him. But He says, examine yourself. All the liability falls upon you. Do you know that? All the responsibility falls upon you. And what I'm saying tonight is, have you really been to Calvary to have that price? Or you brought yourself tonight to a showdown. Silence, but it's beautiful though. You know why? Because it's sinking. And I believe God is moving in these meetings. I believe they are searching in the hearts of the people in these meetings. You are not in a place to say, praise God, amen, 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 scream amen, don't know what I scream for. There's something dealing in there. Amen. The opposite thing. I said, what is going on? Give time to see what He said, to digest it, to see if it's amen or not. The only thing that people knew, like parrots. Amen, 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 amen. Stop it for a minute. This is serious business. This is the body of the Lord. This is going to make me guilty or innocent. He tell me, quit playing around, examine yourself. Do you know where you stand? Is there any bitterness? Is there any strife? Is there something that you can't overcome? And you know what you can do? You say, Lord Jesus, I don't know how to overcome this. I don't know how to take care of this. I'm going to put it in your feet. I believe your word says so. And I'm going to put it in your feet and you take care of it. I'm going with the price of Calvary and you just help me. And I'll do it right when your time comes. Am I right? Don't abstain from the body of the Lord. But in your own way, examine yourself. Says, Lord Jesus, I fail you. I have strife in my heart. I have bitterness. I don't know how to handle it. I need more of you. I'm in a chaos. I'm in a mess. I do religion. The only thing I need you, dear Jesus, somehow be merciful to me. You are my price. I take that and you help me how to do it and I'll do it. That's beautiful, isn't it? To know that God deals with us. Friends, I'm determined to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And here He says, and let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. Exetazo, which is like the customs. You go through everything, make sure it's all right. You look it over. This doesn't belong there. You look this, you say this, that. And you know you can't shut yourself. You got to live with yourself. The rest of them look at you. And you might put a big front, God bless you, hug you, and but you know who you are. King David was a murderer. King David was an adulterer. But when he walked in there at the temple Sunday morning or the Sabbath, walking, everybody stood up. King David comes with his gowns and everything. Everybody, the little kids, look at the king. But King David was wounded inside. He knew he was a sinner. Later on, they wrote songs, the book of Psalms. And one of the songs says, "Be mercy on me, Lord God." And King David was coming out to the synagogue, singing with the rest of them, "Be merciful unto me, O God," that was written for him. And you know, there's something to praise God after what he has done for you. One time I was preaching and I said to, I had a man in the congregation before that was in prison because he killed somebody. I said, "God forgives the one that kills. God forgives this, forgives that." And the lady came to me. She said to me, "I don't want my little daughter to listen about him killing somebody." I says, "He's the one," she say more louder, "praise God to the blood of Jesus." Am I right? Huh? And what is it now? We see here, it says, "Examine yourself." I wish if I can get to the book of Psalms, but we'll have to serve communion. David in his heart was just screaming in pain. He says, "Examine, search me, O God," he said. "Search me." Why? He says, "Yeah, I'm a murderer. I didn't even know it. I don't want to know only just the cause of sin, but the reason. I want to go deep in the roots and search it, search it, search it, search it." And the Holy Ghost will search you and I. Do you know that? And examine yourself to find out if you truly want to take communion or not. But you don't have a choice. You're stuck tonight. You're exposed to the truth. You can't go back and say, "I'm not going to take communion," because the Word tells you you're not part of Him. You say, "I'm going to take communion, but I'm no good." You just take communion and leave that thing to Jesus and commit yourself and say, "Lord, under any penalty, under any condition, I'll do things right before you." How do you like that kind of a gospel? Am I right? And he says here, "But let a man examine himself." He tells you to do that. And he says, after you examine, "And so let him eat that bread and drink that cup." Not walked out, but eat that bread and drink that cup after the examination. Where would you go? Where would you hide? Go home? He's going to follow you. You know it now. Right? That's a hard gospel. I remember when I was going to college in Switzerland, I went to some meetings that the Lord was moving so strongly. That before I came in the door, I used to go to the men's room and sit there, lock myself and cry. I said, "Lord, I know I would have dropped dead if I go in. Is there anything in my heart? Please help me and please help me." Stay there, pray in the men's restroom. Go out, go to the meetings. "Lord, be merciful to me. I'm still haven't recovered. Because your grace, that's all I lean on." How are we going to face the day of judgment, friends? How? Let's examine ourselves. We got plenty of doctrines, but we have very little examine ourselves. Am I right?
That's true.
You know? No matter how true is the doctrine, if it doesn't lead you to Calvary, stay out of it. Amen. How do you like that kind of a formula? Right? If it leads you away from Calvary, don't do it.
Amen.
Anything that leads you closer to Calvary, do it. So now we see here that It's not your price. It's not my price. It's what he paid. And he says, now examine yourself. Do you have the price to come over? Or you think you're going to get to the flight or to the train without a ticket? You can't do it. The good part about it is free. You can sit in the corner and say, Lord, examine myself. I want to examine myself. And the Lord continues and he says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Oh, you said probably if I take communion, I might pollute the rest of them. No, you don't. You pollute yourself. I would have liked to get to Mr. Judas taking communion. You know, he took communion, he took the bread and ran. He didn't take the blood, and he never got to Pentecost. Did you ever think of that? Mr. Judas never got to Pentecost. The scripture says, and Judas ran to repent. And he says, repented. And that word repent doesn't appear like the one that we spoke this morning. He says, metamelo. Meta is later, melonis. After he considered the circumstances, he had the sorrow of the world. He didn't have godly sorrow. He says, well, I had it too easy. Traveling with a master, having a meal ticket. Now I crucify him. Now I'm in a mess, right? Thinking all about his good things he had, the popularity he had. Brother was the assistant manager of the campaign. And on and on and on. But now he says, you go to drink damnation to yourself. So really, what I was saying tonight, it's in me and it's in you. It's in each one of us. You fail the Lord, say, Lord, I know one thing, I'm no good, just forgive me, I'll take communion, you straighten me up, I will listen to your word, and if something, you tell me what to do and how to do, give me the strength to do it, I know I'm wrong, I don't have the strength to do it, you got to give me the strength, you're Jehovah Jireh, just leave it up to him and he'll take care of it.
Yes, amen.
Right? Don't try to do it, because you can't. Self cannot conquer self. Do you know that? Self cannot conquer self. If you do it, then God's, that's not the price. You see, you cannot contribute to what God has done nothing. Because it's works and grace then. What you're doing, what God is doing. It's 100% God and you have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
The only thing you do, you accept what he has done.
Hallelujah.
So then after that, he says, for if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Isn't it beautiful? He puts it back to your own lap. He says, listen, you judge yourself. How can I judge myself, Lord? I am wrong. I know I'm wrong. Lord, help me. I'm wrong. So you don't have any judgment. You confess the wrong. Now, from now on, what I'm doing? I says, Lord, give me the strength to do better tomorrow.
Amen.
I want to get better. I want to go on with you.
Yeah.
I fail. My heart is bitterness. I hate my brother. I hate my sister. My wife and I got in a big fight last week. I haven't even talked yet. That's the real world. Am I right? The only difference, I'm saying it. So what is it? We go now, he says, now listen. Now, he says, watch that. If you judge yourself, you will not be judged. You know what? You might think I'm radical. But I'd rather find even the little picky things in my life and judge them to clear it up instead of worrying about it. Am I right? I'd rather, if he tells me if I judge myself, I will not be judged. I will just look in the little hole down there and say, hey, that's temper. You have it. But he did. No, no, you have it right there. I better judge myself. And you know what he says? If I judge myself, I will not be judged. So I said, Lord Jesus, that's no good. You help me and I'll go on from there. We have a beautiful gospel, isn't it? He doesn't hit you on the head and kill you. He tells you what to do to accept that price and go on. And judge yourself so you won't be judged. That's all. He tells you, quit being a hypocrite. Face reality. And the price is paid for you. That's all you have to do.
Hallelujah.
I love the Lord. Am I right? Before I turn the service to Brother Searle, I'm sorry to make it that short tonight. I was going to go to Exodus 12 about the Passover, but I don't feel we should go there now. But you know what we should do? For a couple, 3 minutes, we should, each one of us, think about this verse. But let a man examine himself. Right? We don't need the organ to play or the piano. We don't need to be entertained right now. Correct? Think about you before the Lord. So Lord Jesus, search me, made me, do something for me. Bow heads and close your eyes. Prepare yourself for communion. Think about Jesus and about yourself the next couple of minutes. Be your God. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Brother Searle, to come over and take the service. Search me, O God. Search me.